Welcome to Burning in Hell.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the dark, fiery, scary depths of hell. Today I'm with no one other than Caitlin Bristow. But we have a little twist today because...
because it's the mashup and you're also listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. You have such a good intro and I'm like, and you're listening to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow. What's up?
Also, you're an OG podcaster. You inspired girls like me to start ours. So don't put yourself down right now.
Ooh, really? When did you start your podcast?
I have about 80 episodes, but it's been like a year and a half.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome. Do you love doing it?
I love it. Yeah. I really love it.
You're born for this.
So I feel like we have this remix episode we've never done before. Caitlin said it's pretty much Moulin Rouge. We don't know who's the Christina yet, but we're not going to fight over it. If anyone is the Christina, it's Caitlin because she's an actual musician that I just found out about.
Me too. I just found out about that too.
Caitlin, do you realize my job is like making fun of everyone, including myself. Yeah. When your song came out, I was like, oh, I like her, but I have to be honest with the girl. If it's bad, I'm going to have to make fun of her.
Yeah.
You slapped. It was a slap. It slapped so hard. I played it in front of like the Instagram Live with my friend Paige. And Paige was like, I don't really like country. And I was like, bitch, give it a chance. I just want to say congrats.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that's so nice. Because I was like mentally preparing myself for, you know, criticism, and rightfully so, like constructive or whatever. People are allowed to have their opinions and not like music. And I'd been like mentally preparing for people to not like the song for so long that I forgot, what about the people who are actually going to enjoy it? And it like took over my brain. And so now I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so just like friggin' grateful and happy about it. And I would have totally accepted a little like poke or jab if you didn't like it, because that's okay. Nobody has to like my music. So thank you for saying that, because I know you'd be honest.
And the song, if I'm being honest, is based on honesty. You guys should download it on Spotify if you haven't already, or wherever the hell people listen to music nowadays. But I think that also you didn't just put it together in a basement in Vancouver. Like you, nothing against Vancouver, but no. Like you're in Nashville. And when did you figure out you could sing?
Well, that was one of my fears of releasing music, was I was like, oh, people are just going to think because I'm in Nashville, I think I can just like take up singing or put it on my resume. But I've been singing and dancing since I was like 3 years old. And I was always in musical theater, like song and dance. And that's what my mom did as well. And so I actually just took voice lessons in Vancouver when I lived there for fun. Like I was just like, oh, that'll be something fun I can do as a hobby because I enjoyed it. And then when I came to Nashville, I'm like, I found myself being friends with singers and songwriters and being like, whoa, this city is full of talent. And so I've just been kind of doing it, not so silently, like I kind of teased it ever since I started doing voice lessons, but it's been like 4 years of working on my voice in Nashville and finally having the balls to share it. So
I feel connected to you in a way that like reality TV has given us exposure to kind of do what we love and immediately have people. Like, I always want to be heard in whatever form. And I'd been writing comedy for a long time. And then after the show, my podcast, I decided to do a live show. My friend was like, do 10 minutes to stand up. You won't. And I'm like, fine, I will. And I loved it. But I mean, in New York City, people don't just accept a reality TV star with a following to start doing stand-up comedy. But if you put in the work, people will respect you. And I just felt like the song was so professionally well done. And it really came from your heart. It wasn't just like it didn't seem like just a ploy for money to like get, yeah. You know?
Well, thank you for saying that. Cause I mean, I could have come right off the show, or, you know, like so many of those douchebags go on Bachelor and Bachelorette to like promote their music and be like, oh no, I'm totally here for love. And they like come out with a guitar. So
all their interviews are them singing and they're like, I communicate through song.
Right. They're just going off on riffs like, but yeah, I was like, oh, I can't be that person. And that isn't why I went on the show. Like I wasn't like, ooh, maybe one day I'm going to put out a song and this will help me. But yeah, people don't take you like as serious if you are on a reality show, because they think, well, they're just like me. They're just like a degenerate that landed a TV gig and now they have some sort of fame behind them. But they're, you know, they don't have talent. And so, yeah, it was I was definitely a little scared, like this whole 4 years of singing and doing voice lessons, because it was a passion of mine, too. I didn't want people to take that away from me.
Yeah, like it was your dream that you were building up, and the second it goes on, everyone's like, "You suck, Caitlin, put the mic down." And you're like, "But I just love to try to get a tune. I'm just trying to sing my dogs to sleep at night."
Yeah. Exactly. When you went on the show, on your show, did they, because I have not watched and I don't know the concept. Oh, no, I know the concept, but like, did they know you're a comedian and that's why they brought you on? Or were you just like, how did you get on the show? And then did you use that as like a launching pad for your career?
Great question. I was originally a tennis player. And then after I was like, I played for the University of Wisconsin. And then one day you're just told like you're done. Mm-hmm. And I was in like a 3-year, just very lost place. I didn't feel like I had a purpose. I was doing sales. I was doing marketing. It just sucked. And then this is why I believe in manifestation.
Oh God, girl. Same.
Girl, it's my psych 101, manifest that shit.
Yeah.
And we're not even in LA. We don't even have crystals. It still can work, you guys.
Yes, you don't need the crystals. I mean, I love them, but you don't need them.
We love a crystal, but you can do it without, because we're in quarantine. We can't be running around trying to find crystals.
No.
So I saw an old sports broadcasting video I did in college where like I learned how to edit, and it was me being like, "Hey guys, the Badgers won 42-63 and I was like, I want to do video. I literally just said I want to do video. And then I just started talking to people about it, and then randomly my friend said that this company Betches was looking for a video producer of like 5 years experience, and I was like, I don't have that. But I quit my job and I started doing like an internship, unpaid internship at 25 years old or 26. Yeah. And all my friends were like, "Oh, is Hannah okay? Like, I don't know. Has anyone checked on Hannah? She's doing like video unpaid." But in my head, I saw a big picture. I was like, I want to be happy in 4 years because I'm miserable. And Betches, I submitted like a ton of ideas and they go, "Look, you have no experience, but we'll bring you on freelance." And then in that role, like, I just learned so much. I was writing like 80 memes a week. I was writing comedy scripts. I was learning how to put together jokes. And that's where I started to meet some reality TV people, because guys like you would come in for interviews. And I interviewed the Summer House cast and I was like making fun of them. And then when they were doing a big recast for season 3, my name was thrown around because I'd known them from around town.
Yeah.
And they were looking for someone who was outgoing. And that's when I got the call, "You're going to be on Summer House." And I said, I was talking to my lawyer, and they were like, "Look, go on the show. The worst thing that can happen is people are just blah about you. Either have them like love you or hate you. Just be like committed to yourself." And he was like, "What do you want to do to like for your own monetization?" And I was like, "I want to start a podcast where I talk to people about their demons, because I'm meeting all these reality TV people and all these celebrities, and they're all insane. Like, we're all insane."
Yeah.
And I need to kind of expose that in like a funny way and show we're all more similar than different.
Yes.
So that's my like that. Oh yeah. But the way I started doing stand-up was doing my first live show, and then I kind of fell in love with stand-up, but now I'm fired. I've been fired from stand-up because of the quarantine, because of Corona. Yeah. All the stand-ups got fired.
I mean, you still have your podcasts and ways to like, you know, share your humor and everything. But yeah, that's crazy. I actually love that story so much. It's one of my favorite things to hear that people like, gosh, how young now is 25, right? Where, well, actually, I don't even know how old you are right now.
I'm 28.
Oh, okay. You're still young. Well, I'm still young too, but you know what I mean? Yeah, like 20s are like, but it's, you're welcome. But it's crazy because like at 25, I think so many people, which is crazy because it's so young, would think, well, I got to do what the blueprint tells me and keep moving forward and, you know, into a career or do, you know, whatever. But the people who are like, "No, I'm miserable and I want to do something that makes me happy. And so what? I have to sacrifice a few years of my life to like, you know, have no money or do whatever to do what I love." That's so worth it. And I wish more people thought like that, because it is so worth it. And if you manifest and do something that you love, I'm like, I feel like I'm a freaking broken record over here on my podcast all the time, because I always preach that to people. And I mean, and to each their own. Like, if you are a student and you like thrive in school and like want to become a lawyer and that's like your passion, like, obviously good for you. But for people who think, oh, I can't do what I love and I should just do this because my parents told me this, or this is how I'm supposed to do it, like, that noise.
I always say, yeah, find what brings you joy. And my thing is, I just didn't know what brought me joy. And then when I thought about it, I was like, video, I'm not going to make money with video. But when you're actually passionate about something, you find ways to make it work. And I think you making this song at this time in your career is so cool, because you couldn't have planned this. This wasn't a plan. This is you just like checking in with yourself each day. What's motivating you? Because you didn't go on The Bachelor being like, I'm going to drop a single, it's going to blow up.
Never.
And that's why I'm actually very anti 5-year plans, or like, I think that stuff is so restricting. I think you don't even know what society's going to be in 5 years. So like, just take in what the media is doing and how you're feeling, and just keep evolving and just stop. I just hate society.
Oh my gosh. Burn it to the ground. I am so with everything you're saying. I'm like, yes, yes. Like, I hate the question, what's your 5-year plan? Or like, what? And anyone that asked me that when I was on The Bachelorette, I was like, ew, bye. Because I've never in my life been like I've goals, but I'm not like, you know, in 5 years, I need to have this. It's been like, since I was 20, I've been like, well, I would love to have kids. And then at 22, I'm like, I mean, maybe in a couple of years. And then 25, I'm like, well, I still like, I'm doing things that I love. And then it's like 27, oh shit, I'm still figuring out my life. And then 29, I'm like, oh, I would still love to have kids in a couple of years. And I'm still like, every year that goes by, then I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm just going to freeze my eggs, because clearly this shit isn't happening anytime soon. So it's like, you just have to go with what path you're on and what things that you love. And exactly like you said, it's restricting to have a 5-year plan.
Yeah. And it's also so much easier to find joy and to know what joy is after you've been in a dark place.
Yeah.
So like, I like did a little reading up and research with your ship, but like, I went through a really bad relationship at like 26, where I think we all have to have that one.
Yep.
So that we become women.
Yeah.
Where you think that a guy's going to make you happy, you lose yourself completely, and you sign a deal with the devil that like, okay, I'll be with him because that's what it should be, because of whatever reasons. You want to get married right now. He's rich. He's really hot. He's tall. Who knows?
They'll take care of me.
He'll take care of me. Life will be easy. And then you lose yourself. You realize you are so much better off without him, but you have to rebuild yourself. And then you never let a man's take your identity again.
Nope.
But it my goals as I've gotten older have become simpler. It used to be like, win the US Open, become famous. Now it's like, I want to wake up and like be at peace with my own thoughts.
Yep.
And when that happens, you're so positive. You're like, oh, I didn't yell at myself today. At least that's a plus. And then when things come and go, you don't associate them with happiness as much as, but more just the journey. Like, And I even feel it sounds like with your song dropping, it wasn't about like an end result. It sounds more like it was a challenge that you wanted to overcome, maybe.
It was a complete, like, so I was so insecure about it. It was something that I was like, I pride myself on being this risk taker and doing things outside my comfort zone. And I was like, if you are that, and that's what's gotten you to where you are, keep going. Like, you don't stop once you get to a certain place. Be like, well, I already did a lot of things, so I'll put that off. I was like, you have to keep going and just like do things that freak you out. And so I did it. And it was literally like, I honestly in my brain thought, okay, well, at least it has like a strong message right now with what people are going through in the quarantine, and like lyrics can relate to people. And I just want it to like, you know, I just want people to listen to it and not feel alone. And I had no intentions of anything. Like, the fact that I was even on a chart, I was like, what? Like, it like, I had no expectations at all from it, except for like self-negative talk where I expected people to hate it. And that I'm mad at myself for that. But that's the only expectations I had. And now I'm like so proud of myself and feel like I can do anything. And I'm like, I can't wait to write more music. And
I think like your music writing is very connected to your reality TV journey, because I actually, we're both going a little blind. I didn't watch your season. I watched when you were on Chris's.
Yeah.
And you, for some reason, and I don't say this to a lot of reality TV people, I'm not just like sucking up to you, you had such a self-awareness and you had a humor to you that was very refreshing. And then the next season, when they said they weren't picking you and it was you and another girl and the guys got to choose, I had a f-ing feminist freak out. And I said, this show, I'm over it. And I like couldn't watch your season because I was like too pissed off.
Oh, I love that. I love your fire and your passion about that, because I was the same way.
I boycotted your season for feminism.
I respect the hell out of that, because I was so angry during that and felt the same way. And it actually, now looking back, I'm so glad about it, because it made me more of a feminist and it made me more of like taking like certain situations and feeling empowered through it and like supporting Britt, the other girl, instead of being like competition. Like, it totally opened my eyes to another world of feminism that I'm like so proud of now.
Yeah, and I think that you're also going to reality TV because it's all about vulnerability and making mistakes and just kind of owning your shit. And if you could do that on national TV, it's almost like writing a produced song of your feelings is like a natural next step, where a lot of famous celebrities can't put their words together of how they feel when they're creating music. So I think you're almost creating this interesting, like, people know your life, so hearing you sing and then feeling connected to you is like this beautiful combination of like reality TV music.
I made a, that's flattering, thank you for saying that.
It's like a green screen song. It's like, if I'm being honest.
You know what, that could make for a really great music video.
Oh my god, it's just you on with a green screen in the back and producers like prodding you in the face.
That's kind of great.
I mean, it would be easy to film in quarantine.
I do have a green screen.
Girl, just saying, we're planting seeds. In all my Burning in Hell podcasts, I like to ask all my beautiful, gorgeous, successful guests, what is your biggest physical insecurity?
Oh, gosh. I have a few. Of course we all do, but this is something I have worked on for so long, because I'm going to tell you something, and I don't even actually know how many times I've talked about this because it was such an insecurity of mine, but I have touched on it. So when I was little, I had OCD, and I don't know how you grow out of that, but I somehow, I'm sure I still have a little bit of it, but it wasn't as severe as when I was younger. And I used to be so ashamed of my face that it wasn't symmetrical, because my OCD was causing me to like freak out if things weren't even, and everything needed to be even, whether it was like if I saw a picture where my hair is parted down the middle and it wasn't like perfectly symmetrical, I'd like have anxiety over it. And I didn't know how to address that as a kid, because you don't really know what anxiety or OCD is, but everything had to be even. And so as I grew older and I was going through like high school, I would not hand out my school pictures because I thought my face was so uneven and one eye was smaller than the other and blah, blah, blah. And as I went on in life, I just kept hating myself for that. And when I went on TV, I remember being like, everyone is going to say how like my face is so uneven. I'm going to get like, that's what people are going to say about me on TV. And you can ask any of the producers, like they were all like, what are you talking about? And it like took one person after the show. Someone was like, does she have a lazy eye? And I was like, there it is. I knew it. My whole life has been a truth. Like every lie I told myself, it wasn't a lie. It was the truth.
Out of millions of tweets.
Yep. Yep. I took that one, and that one that hit home, and I ran with it. And that has always been my insecurity. So to answer your question, that's why I started doing Botox. I was that insecure about it, because I was like, I just want my face to be a little more symmetrical. And I've had to like go through a few years of, because I've done Botox since I was like 26 and I'm 34. And I've had to go through a few years of like forgiving myself for being like I'm all for Botox and everything like that. But like being that hard on myself because of symmetry in my face, like that's so sad. And I wouldn't want to like promote that or like say people go get Botox for that reason to anyone, because imperfections are what make people beautiful. And it's taken me a long time to believe that.
That's your next song.
Yeah, everything I say, I'm just writing down is like,
it's called lopsided.
It's called lazy eye. Lazy eyed Caitlin.
The lazy eye girl.
Yeah, I'm just gonna remix Brown Eyed Girl into Lazy Eyed Caitlin.
But it's almost a body dysmorphia that you had, and then you were like obsessing over. And it's funny because I talk a little too strongly of like anti-plastic surgery. But what I kind of realized is that I'm not anti-plastic surgery. I'm pro like figuring out the why you want to change something. Because if you don't fix that like inner like demon, then you're just gonna kind of keep going. So it's like, if you can fully understand yourself and the reason why, and it sounds like with you, it was just kind of you were just covering up your anxiety with a band-aid.
Yes.
And it was going to come out in other ways. Let's say you fix your face and it's perfect. If you're not dealing with your anxiety, you're going to put it on your significant other or like your career.
Well, do you know what I realized through that was I would find anything else. Then I'd fix something and I'd find something else to be so hard on myself for. And it would always be something with symmetry. So first of all, I totally forget your main question. Was it something?
I just said, what's your biggest physical insecurity? And you kind of nailed it.
Yeah. And so it's so crazy because I've been working on it so hard to like accept things and like be okay with certain things. And I have come such a long way, but that's probably my biggest physical insecurity is things being uneven. And I don't know if that's like still a little bit of OCD in me or if it's just from like going on TV and now having to be in photos for like my wine and the scrunchies and always just seeing, you know, social media and having to like pick myself apart. I don't know if that's probably making everything so much worse, but being self-aware and conscious of it. And like you said, looking into the why has been really huge for me because I've learned that through going to therapy is the why, like, and why you do that. And it all makes sense when you really get down to the root of it.
But when it's not like an external thing. So someone can't diagnose you and be like, wow, your foot is broken. So you don't know in your head. I personally deal with OCD too, but I didn't really know the extent. But I deal with OCD like with my eyelashes. Like I hate feeling like they're not perfectly like brushed out. And like if I feel like I will just with my eyelashes all day. And I realize like it's just me putting my anxiety of other things into my eyelashes. Yeah. And you'll even see on Summer House, you'll see me touching my eyelashes and people will be like, why is she touching her? Especially the pandemic, my biggest joy in life is touching my eyelashes, and I'm just like, don't touch your face, don't touch it.
It's like helping you with your
but yeah, I think also people who are type A and very like you're a very productive person, our brain's never stopping, and sometimes we do have those scary OCD thoughts, but once you can separate them from like OCD thoughts versus who you are, it's like a game changer.
It is a game changer. It took me a long time to even like start to understand that was what was going on. Like I just always kind of accepted the fact that I have one eye that's smaller than the other and that's, I'm just going to have to be ugly for life. Like so dramatic. so dumb.
I mean, putting yourself on a national TV show when you have, that's like a huge insecurity to you is, I felt like going on the TV show, I just was like, I'm in a bikini all the time. Who knows? I just kind of was like, if I'm imperfect, it's helping people. And I like tricked myself to being like, I am Mother Teresa for being a size 6 on TV. And it's like, calm down, Hannah. Calm down.
But that is what we need. We need people, you know, that... Think about all growing up in our world where we saw all these magazines of what your body should look like. And obviously it's still happening on social media, but it's starting to have a shift, I believe. And like we need to see people on TV who, even if they're size 0 to whatever size, it doesn't matter. If they're just like not insecure about it and just like owning their bodies and being like, it's the most beautiful, attractive thing in the world when people are just happy with who they are.
It's so corny to be like, be confident, but for you to walk into a room and be like, yeah, my lazy eye, it's hot, what's up? Even though I can't even see your lazy eye, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, that's because of Botox.
You're like, my doctor is legit.
It's because I've worked on it.
I try to own it. Like I have not shaved my legs in forever, and it's like, what is a guy not gonna me because my legs are hairy? Because then you're not the right guy for me. And I just tweeted about quarantine, like, if you wear makeup every day and then you take off makeup, you look like a naked mole rat. But if you never wear makeup, you start to actually like how your face looks. And I'm like, what if we all just, you know, did a Zoom call, put on Kris Jenner on the line and decide, okay, guys, let's stop. Yeah. Let's stop with all the bullshit because we're chasing standards that we all can't afford anymore. Yeah. And it's not healthy.
I think that's one of the beautiful things that's happening through quarantine is people are just like allowing themselves to just kind of be who they are. They're like, well, frick it. I've never said that in my life. weird.
That's your third song. Frick it.
Yeah, frick it.
Frick it
real good. but that's like, everybody's just kind of like, screw it. I too have not shaved my legs. I clearly can't get laser hair removal. I'm like, finally just got my roots done, but I made the girl come over and like put on a mask. And it's just kind of like liberating to let yourself be for these.
Yeah. Like the world hasn't ended. Yeah. No one's like calling 911 cause you're so disgusting. Well, you're alone. I'm 28 and I'm single. And I'm in like it's a weird world of entertainment we're in now. And as someone who's been in like a bunch of serious relationships, do you have any advice in terms of like guiding your heart the right way?
Well, okay. When's the last relationship you were in?
I was kind of in a
serious one.
I was in a serious one at like 26 for a year. And then I've had like three guys that I'll like, I kind of put an emotional wall up and I'll like date guys, but kind of be like, you're not the one for me, but like, I want attention.
Which is fine.
Yeah. So I've been like a little protected, but it's been like a year maybe. I haven't had sex in like 5 months.
Oh, me either. And I'm, and I'm with someone. No, I'm just kidding. That's quarantine for you right there. You're not missing out.
I give hand jobs and that's it.
Good old fashioned HJ. Who does that? Jason would be like, really?
You're like, it was funny. It's not about you, Jason. It was for the joke. I just envisioned you drinking like a glass of wine, singing to yourself, jerking him off. Sorry, you guys. He's just talking about hockey when he was in high school. And you're like, whatever you say.
Yep, sure.
Whatever you say.
Whatever gets you going. That's amazing. Drinking my wine. Maybe even smoking a cigarette.
A post-Coyotus cigarette with no Coyotus.
You paint a pretty picture. What was I even saying? Oh, and relationship advice. I've got none. clearly don't listen to anything that I have to say about relationships. Well, my only thing is like I always, in every past relationship I've had up until Jason, I've always felt like I needed to be sexy. And I look back on that now and I'm like, what a shame that I felt that, because just anything, just being who I am should be sexy. And that's totally what Jason sees in me. And I always thought like, okay, I have to have the best body, or I have to like, you know, not fart in front of people and like all these things. But that's not who I am. I fart. I know you like fart jokes. I too like fart jokes. I'm like, that's not who I am to be that person. And so with Jason now, like, even when I'm so gross, and I've talked about this probably too many times on my podcast, that he's like, stop using natural deodorant, it doesn't work for you, he's still like so attracted to me. And I'm like, you just have to find someone that literally loves exactly who you are without like obviously appearance, and like the chemistry and physical, you know, connection is gonna be there, but someone that can just actually be so grossed out by you but want to, like, have sex with you 2 minutes later is true love.
That's amazing. I actually have a very not legitimate source that told me once that if we never wore deodorant, we'd never get divorced, because you'd fall in love with their, like, authentic pheromone scent, and you're not, like, disguising it with perfumes and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's my excuse. I'm just trying to be stinky for love.
Like, I'm environmentally friendly.
And I'm not going to get a divorce.
No, I love, and also like you, because you're so public with everything. Do you have advice for like just moving the f- on? Because you had a very public ending with Sean. Yeah. And now you're in another public thing with another person. You kind of have to be focused on your own, what you want.
Yeah. That's, I mean, That was so wild to me because I would have never, I mean, the amount of passion I had for my last relationship, I was like, I will never give up on this relationship. This is my fiance. This is somebody that I want to spend the rest of my life. I will never give up. And I just kept feeling like, why are you doing this to somebody who's clearly just giving up on you over and over and like never making you feel safe? And so when the point finally came where we broke up, I was like, screw the timing. Like, I am like so happy within myself that I knew once he was, and I'm not trying to bash him, but once he was gone out of my life, it was crazy how much lighter I felt and just like came back to who I was really quickly because I was like, oh, wait, I am awesome and have so much going on for myself. And like, I love myself. Why wouldn't somebody else? And I know I deserve that. And that was like something I'd clearly worked on over the years. So I had that in me when we broke up, that when I moved on, I was like totally aware of what I knew I deserved. And then I think when you have that, you know, positivity like shooting out from you and confidence, you're going to attract the person that's going to love you for you. And that's just how I felt. Like, it was just like, I wasn't trying. I was literally just like, it was a hot mess being so vulnerable, but like so sure of who I was as a person. And that's all you need to do.
And then you'll attract people who want you, not like this facade of you that you've like worked hard to curate.
Yeah.
What is your biggest turn on versus biggest turn off?
In like Jason?
In like guys and dating in general. Okay. And then Jason, because we might as well talk shit on Jason.
My biggest turn off is when guys don't have manners, or like if we're at a restaurant and they don't treat the server properly, I am like mortified. Or if they want to like, I don't even, gosh, it's so weird because I didn't really go through like dating after Sean. I just kind of like jumped into like a really healthy relationship. Which is so bizarre, but I'm like trying to think of turn off. Definitely manners. If you don't have manners, it's like a huge turn off to me. And then a turn on. I mean, that'd be dumb if I said manners, because that's not. I think a turn on to me is if guys, their relationship with their family, probably. Like anytime, you know, quarantine can be hard, and like obviously I could probably, if I really thought about it, give you a lot more turnoffs in this time, and I'm sure he could too. But anytime we're just like, I hear him having a conversation with his family or we do a Zoom call, I'm just like, I think I just realize where he came from and just the amount of respect he has for people he loves. Doesn't even have to be family, I guess. It's just, I love when people have like their core group of people and just like have no shame in talking about their love for each other or like support, or just like when you get, we'll all be on a Zoom call with either one of our families actually, and everyone's just there like lifting each other up and talking about how much they love each other. Like, there's no shame in any of it, and I just think that's weirdly a turn on. Like, I'm like, get off Zoom and I'm like, you're gonna be such a good dad. And that's hot.
Oh, I also think when you're younger, those things, like when they're red flags, you just don't notice them. Like, a guy will like curse out a waiter and I'm like, he's so cute. And then when he disrespects you, you're like, I didn't see it coming. But as you get older, you know exactly, like you just see his tone, like with his sister once, and you're like, nope, you're not speaking to me like that. I thought when everyone's like, find a guy with a good family, I was like, who cares? And then you realize, no, it really is important that they at least understand what love is. And, or it complements your love story.
And family doesn't have to be blood. Like, they can, you know, if they have just such a good group of humans that they surround themselves with, is so important. Like, because obviously there's certain situations where obviously it's not their fault if they don't have like the family that we all like wish, you know, someone could have. But it's all about, and one of my favorite things to always remember is that it's, you're like a combination of the five people you spend the most time with. And so that can, that family, like all growing up, or how you go through life with a core group of friends, can be family too.
It's so true. And I think when I've dated guys who like don't have a lot of friends, it's never worked out well.
It's true.
You're like, people just don't understand him. He's so hot. Nope. He's a dick. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. I was always like, oh, he just wants to spend so much time with me. performance is so great. Yeah, no, that's, and it's so nice to always like hear other people talk about your person too. Like hearing Jason's buddies be like, he will like treat you like this and he cares so much. I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
No, I used to like love addicts. Like I would just end up with addicts because they had, when they realize they like you, they have such, they become addicted to you and the passion is just so beautiful, but then you realize it's not healthy and I don't recommend it. And then you end up like, you're never their priority. It's always the addiction.
Right.
And I don't know why I kept going for addicts. Maybe I thought I could fix them, but I like speaking to a woman who like my parents got married at 25. So like you had all these different relationships that it sounds like they built you to be able to find Jason today.
Oh, 1000%. I even like, I thought that in my last relationship because I was in such a good place when I went on The Bachelor, like, and by good place, I mean like the best place I'd ever been personally with like going through something hard, coming out of it, feeling confident in myself and then going on to the show. I was like, I'm in a really good place to find somebody. And then I was at a place where I found somebody, got engaged, and I'm like, this is the love that I've been like, you know, that I've worked to get here and this is why it's happening now. And just that could still have like, oh, no, that was still one more before I got to like the next one, because you want to convince yourself that you know what you're doing and you, oh, you deserve this and blah, blah, blah. But I still hadn't emotionally got to the level that I needed to of self-love, even in that last relationship, to know what I deserved. And by being unhappy in the end of the relationship, I was like, nope, there's still something missing for me and I still deserve more than this. And I don't feel bad for saying that.
It must be so hard too, to have all of America who like, it's like, we were rooting for you.
Yeah, you feel like you're letting everyone down because like they watch this show to like find the love story at the end and then you give them that and you like, you know, you don't show them the hard times behind the scenes. They're just seeing you in this loving, happy relationship on social media. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, remember that relationship you've been so invested in? Thanks for the support, but it gone.
Oh, and people get angry. They feel like they were lied to. People are like, love isn't real because Caitlin ended it with Sean. And you're like, everyone calm down. That happened to me with Summer House, where I was dating this guy who like, we both had flaws in it. And I didn't expect America to like be rooting for us. Like there's a lot of different couples in the house and they just were like, Hannah and Luke are meant to be.
Yeah.
And I have DMs being like, if you guys aren't together, I will kill myself. And I'm like, you don't even know him. So you don't know him.
Yeah.
But he's handsome.
I know you kind of told me when we were playing beer pong, but what, so the concept of the show is what? For people who don't know also.
Yeah. So Summer House, the concept is these like hardworking New Yorkers. We all have jobs in the city. In New York City, when it gets really hot out, you don't want to be stuck in the concrete jungle. You go out to Long Island, and there's a place called the Hamptons where it's like really fun and it's a little bougie. And but when you're single, you get a share house. So you rent like a mansion and you pay a couple hundred dollars and there's eight friends that every weekend we work during the week and then we let off steam and go to the Hamptons and fight and pee in hot tubs. And it's, but there's also hidden cameras. So it's a little like Big Brother-esque, but there's no competition. It's just us living. So,
and how many seasons are there?
So I came in season 3.
Okay.
And then season 4 was our last season, which has been the highest rated season thus far. It's season 4 is a great binge if you guys want to binge it, but
I'm doing it.
It's kids, people who like, we're not just, you know, random 20-year-olds. We're all like 28 to 36. Yeah. And you kind of see it really, even though we're older, it is still a coming of age tale. Like some of us are in relationships, some aren't. Some of our careers are really developed, some aren't. Some of us have issues. We all have issues. Yeah. I kind of like to call it a drunken psych ward. And you just see how it's like dysfunctional group therapy.
Oh my God. Fun. And like what? And you're yourself on it, obviously. You're not like a character.
Yeah.
Yes. What do people know you for on the show? Obviously being funny.
Thank you. It's funny because during casting, I never applied to a reality TV show. Like, I feel like everyone's applied. I never applied to The Bachelor. Yeah. I've never thought I would go that route. But my life was spent like going out to Long Island. I'm from New York City. And I said, look, if you're going to put me on this show, I can't be something I'm not. Like, if you want to show that girls could be sporty and like funny or like leaders or outgoing, deal with depression, anxiety, like I'm that girl, but like, I'm not going to be your hot mess. Fast forward, I have been a hot mess. However,
and that's okay.
That's okay. I think I've kind of, I was kind of the truth teller, I think, the first season, where I kind of was saying what people are thinking, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of feel like I just try to be as just like truthful as possible about everything and self-aware as possible and laugh at myself as much as I can.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's exactly what people want to see on TV these days, you know, someone just being raw and real and like able to like self-deprecating, like that's all people want to see, because there's no one out there watching reality show that, you know, they're like these, well, unless no, the Kardashians probably watch reality TV, but like nobody's sitting there really being like, I've got everything together and my life is perfect and everything in my relationship is going great and I never have too much to drink. Like everyone is always a bit of a hot mess in their own way. And you see so much, so many things that you can relate to as a viewer when you watch reality TV.
The best advice I ever got was from this guy who said, you're not on it to be perfect. You're on it to make mistakes and for America to see how you solve them. Mm. So when I had that perspective and I came in, I'm like, what kind of shit can I fuck up and try to figure it out? That's life. So but like, if you try to tippy toe and you try to come off a type of way, you will get destroyed.
Yes. And it'll never work. It'll just never work for you. If you are trying to be something that you're not and you are just trying to fit this mold, that doesn't work for anybody, and especially it doesn't work for yourself.
No. And I think that I was able to laugh at things, and I was always very open about my feelings, because if they always say, like, if you're constantly narrating how you're feeling, at least America can like come to an understanding or feel like connected to you, even if you're being a f-ing lunatic.
Right.
But if you don't speak and you're not outward, then like people can make up what they want. Like, oh, well, she did that because she was jealous, or she did that because she wanted to hurt someone. But if you're constantly open about if you're confused or if you're anxious or if you're upset, then anyone can relate to those emotions.
Which is also cool to see people being able to express that and, you know, not just, like you said, have people sit there and be like, oh, she's just jealous. It's cool to be able to communicate your feelings and like speak to the root of the problem of how you're feeling.
I love that women are so much more complex than like the jealous girlfriend or, you know, the beautiful, perfect girl. We're all so much more complicated. So I do kind of like, I think also I've been able to connect with people on the show because I'm not your typical, like, I'm not like super, super feminine or like always trying to be made up and stuff. So I like kind of showing that beauty and being sexy does not have to be like what you traditionally see in magazines.
Yes, I absolutely love that. That's like, I've been working and friends with this girl, Erin Treloar, on Raw Beauty Talks for so long. And that's kind of like her whole message is like, there's so much beauty in every different person, woman, like whoever, just because of who they are and not what they look like. And we've all just been so brainwashed over decades.
What was wild about this show is that like there's gorgeous girls on our show. And I guess I always valued myself as like an athlete, or like I valued myself on being funny, which I guess are two like kind of masculine qualities. But like my parents never called me a princess when I was younger. It was very like based on, given my own issues of like trying to be really good at things. But the show, this guy walks in, his name's Luke, and he's like a model, like a hockey player model.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, he like zoned in on me. And I think it's because I don't know, like I don't care that he's a model. And it turns out like he likes girls with big butts. Thank you, I got a fat booty. He likes girls who are athletic. And I think America was like, how did this guy not like a like model-esque looking girl? And I want to be like, girls, it's about swag. You just gotta have that swag.
It's all about swag. And I think humor is so attractive. I think it's intimidating to men sometimes.
True. But that's what I tell myself whenever I get rejected.
Yeah, you're just so intimidating. That's, you know what? That's a great way to look at it. More people should look at it that way.
That's our next song. Yeah. Intimidating.
Rejection equals intimidation.
Yes.
It's a bop. I can feel it already.
This is becoming Moulin Rouge. We just break into song.
We have to go back and listen to this whole episode because there's so many song titles in here.
Oh my God. Do you want to wrap up with a final game?
Yeah, I have a game for you and you have a game for me, and my game's really quick. So
why don't you go first?
Or wait, do you want to play a game or do you have a really f***ed up confession you want to tell me?
I have just like a gross fact.
Perfect.
I have really hairy toes.
Oh, me too. Everyone does.
Oh, shit. I thought that was interesting.
No. I feel like since I was like a growing woman when I first got boobs and got like hair on my toes, I was like, you know, when like someone says like puts a little hair on your chest, I was like, am I becoming a woman when I get beasting boobs and hair on my toes? Like, is this called being a girl?
I think I was, you know, when you're with at a boy's place and you like see his razor and you're like, oh, I should touch up.
Yeah.
And you just put it in your vagina and you're like, haha, it's going to go on your face or wherever he puts it. And I like went to shave my toe and it cut. And I was like, you know, when you cut, it becomes like a murder scene. Yeah. And he's like, why is your foot bleeding? And I like couldn't get to explain that like I was shaving the hair off my toe. And I was like, oh my God, I stepped on it. It was so weird. Like, watch out for that. Maybe you should fix your razor. You should fix your razor.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I have so many like flashback memories of like razors and being like, ah, let me just get a quick like quick in.
I've used so many dudes' razors and just been like, thank you.
This is how I know Jason loves me. He walked in on me shaving my face, okay? There's my confession. I don't know what it is. Women get different random hairs, like chin hairs or like, you know, whatever. I get it so bad that I usually get laser hair removal because I'm like, what is happening? I'm like a full-blown man. And I've been doing all these hormone tests because I'm like, something is wrong. And then I just said it the other day when I was like, it's quarantine and like we are so there now that it doesn't even matter. He's like, are you shaving your face? And I went, yeah, and I shave my arms too. And he was like, okay. And like I like owned it so hard that he almost felt stupid for asking.
That is perfect. You have to turn it on them. I guess I get so jealous that men like don't have to try as hard with stuff. And that's why I'm like, women, let's just be equal to them. But we all have to be on the bandwagon to decide not to try as much. But I also, like, one of my dating things is like, you know how man, they're like, oh, men don't listen to you when you talk. Or like, girls are so annoying. You turn it. Don't listen to them when they talk. Yeah. Tell them they're annoying. But this isn't healthy. This is just playing games. This is not to have like an actual husband. This is just for you to your ego.
Yeah, totally. And that's, you know what? You got to feed that beast sometimes too.
It is a beast. It is a full on hairy beast.
Yeah. Full on hairy beast.
I feel like that one went well. The confession.
Yeah, it was good.
So yeah, at the end of all my episodes, I like to play the game. It's not really a game, just questions. The seven deadly sins.
Wait, that's so funny. It's so funny because I always do that too. I'm like, okay, I've got a game, and then it's like just rapid fire questions, and every time I'm like, well, it's not really a game, it's more questions, but I do it every time.
You know, they're like, how do I win? And I'm like, just answer a f***ing question. And
yeah, just stop talking. Yeah
Game time. What are you greedy about?
Ooh, my food.
What kind of food?
Anything. I like, you would think I would be an okay sharer, like, but it doesn't matter. Like, if I even got like, okay, let's say somebody sent me a box of Smart Sweets and it was like a box and it's all free and they just sent it to me, I will be like, I can't believe Jason just opened one of those packages. Like, I'm like greedy over treats and food, like, or like I'm so full. But like he goes to reach on my plate for a bite and I'm like, but here's the worst part. I am greedy in a way where I need other people's food as well.
I was about to ask you.
No, I'm so guilty. When my mom and my stepdad bought me a fork that extends out really long because I just eat off other people's plate all the time. So I'm a total hypocrite as well as greedy.
I once got in such a big fight with a guy at a diner because I went sweet, he went savory, so obviously I needed some of his savory, and I was like, can I have some of your toast? And he was like, sure. And he had two pieces, so I ate one of his toasts, and he goes, you ate a whole toast. And I go, yeah, I asked you. And he goes, I thought you were going to take a bite. We fought for like 20 minutes over a piece of toast. And that's why you need to date a skinny man. Skinny man.
Fair.
Who are you envious of?
Oh. Hmm. I'm probably envious of, wait, I want to really answer this truthfully. I'm envious of probably, do you know who Sarah Nicole is? The Birds Papaya?
Yes.
I am envious of her confidence, and not even if she's feeling insecure about something, just her ability to put her insecurities on blast and own them and then feel good about them. Like, just the way that she has lived her life. She's gone through so many hard times, and like, talk about like going, you know, feeling like you're going backwards in life, having kids and getting a divorce and moving back with your parents and feeling shame around your body and struggling with eating disorders. And then like taking such a life learning lesson away from that. And like the way she raises her kids and the way she is like a bright light on social media. I'm like always so envious of her. I don't even want to call it bravery, because it's not, it shouldn't be brave to put your body out and like, because it's, you know, not standard beauty. So I don't want to say that, but just her way of like shifting people's mindset of what bodies can look like and how they can be beautiful too.
I need to have her on my pod, because she's one of those people that just popped up and I immediately was just like, I need to follow that person. Like, her energy, I felt it.
She is a great person to have on a podcast. Everything she says, I'm always so like moved by. And she's also hilarious and Canadian and great. And she's just wonderful.
I'm trying to get in with the Canadian click. Yeah. But yeah, she posts like she has stretch marks. And I remember the first time she posted it, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. how brave, or right. Wow. But then, because it's been on my feed for so long, it shows how it's just a societal norm. Yeah. Where like now I see it and I'm like, oh my God, cute bathing suit.
Same. Like, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. That's, I love having that on my feed, because it is so beautiful.
It is. She's gorgeous too. Yeah, in every way. Yeah. We're obsessed. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath? So you got really pissed off.
In today.
What happened?
Okay. I actually do struggle with like a bit of like a short fuse, because,
are you part Italian?
I, you know what? Thank you for even asking that, because I feel like I'm supposed to be. No.
What are you?
I am like I'm very British. I'm very, very British. Yeah. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, or I don't know. My fuse is just so short. And yesterday I was having a really bad day. I had really bad anxiety. I didn't want to do so many things I had to do, and I was PMSing, and I was like, oh my God, I hate today. And obviously the dogs just make me so happy, and I was chasing them around, and I have this sign on my office wall, off the vine sign, and it's like a really thin plastic glass, like plexiglass almost, and it was on the floor, and I ran around the corner and just sliced my baby toe in half on this thing. And I just was like, oh God, oh God. And I started feeling like I was going to puke, and I dropped to the ground and I just held my toe and thought I broke my toe. I was like, oh, I for sure broke it. And I looked down and I was like, oh shit, it's literally split in half. Like, disgusting. And so I started crying, and I had to go to urgent care.
Where's Jason through all this? Where's our savior?
He was up on a very important phone call and like didn't know this had been happening. But
this Peloton, what is he doing?
Yeah, he was just doing sit-ups upstairs, getting those goddamn abs intact. But no, I had my assistant here, which, thank God. And she was like,
she was like, this wasn't in the job description. You're like, cut my toe off, cut it off.
I was like, take me to ER, wear a mask, COVID-19, you might get it.
Sacrifice yourself.
Yep, this is real. You know what? It's going to look good on your resume, okay?
I saved Caitlin's life that one time.
She split her toe, and I risked my life for COVID to take her in. And so my toe is so gnarly right now. And so I had to go in and whatever. And then today I woke up in a grumpy mood, because I was like, ugh, I had like every intention of doing a spin class and do something like go take the dogs for a walk. And I didn't realize how bad I needed this foot. And so everything that just happened today, it was one of those days. So I was in a bad mood. This is all very like, obviously like dumb problems to be complaining about in this time, but whatever, I'm allowed to have my days. I went into the laundry room and I spilled a whole thing of OxyClean detergent, not liquid, like little tiny sand grains everywhere in my laundry room and in my perfectly dressed foot of like, you know, it had like, well, let me just give you a little preview.
Oh, yeah.
And it was all in there. And like, I honestly just snapped. I raised my fist to the door and went.
You turned into an angry, drunk dude named Kyle.
That was, yes. Yes. I was drunk Chad at a party.
Also, you're literally so tiny. The door was like, what? What are you going to do? Put your hand down.
The door, people can't see me, but the door did this. I was like, come at me, bro.
That is so funny. Okay, when was the last time you were a sloth? So like you didn't do anything all day.
Oh, I do that. I actually carve out Tuesdays and Sundays to be a sloth because that's, I just need 2 days to like, I love McDonald's. It's probably my favorite thing to eat in the world. McDonald's and sushi, really random. But I will like make sure once a week I have my McDonald's and I will be a complete piece of shit on Sundays and Tuesdays and just do absolutely nothing.
And Jason like will let you, like he won't bother you or ask you to do shit?
Oh no, he'll join me.
Oh, that's so nice.
Not Tuesdays, but Sundays, he will be absolutely so lazy with me. Yeah, it's amazing.
That's so healthy because, yeah, a lot of people are dealing with working from home now and they're like, it's hard because now my personal is my work. Where us as entrepreneurs, I feel like we consciously have to be like, okay, no, turn off. Like even on our phones, we're working. So I think it's smart that you pick specific days that you're like, it's the rule, sorry.
Yeah, it is. It's totally my time. And everybody on my team and like Jason and my assistant knows it. Tuesdays and Sundays, like don't come at me, bro.
And then the Monday in between, you're like.
The Monday in between, I am like also a sloth, but like a functioning one.
You're like, I'll reply to an email or two.
Yeah.
This is a harder one. When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something?
I'm like trying to think. Probably in an argument with Jason.
Are you guys good at arguing?
I'm not. He is. I'm not good at arguing. He's really, really good at arguing. He's very logical. And he reacts with logic. I react with emotion. And so it's a good balance because I need to react with emotion. It like lets me have my moment, but then I can come around and be like, oh, okay. And he is just always like very level headed and it works well for us. But,
cause he won't like get too emotional from your emotion.
Yes. And sometimes I get very overwhelmed if there's a lot of like hot goss in the Bachelor world. I don't know why it's a trigger for me, but I'm just like, something came out in the Bachelor world of someone said something awful and it was like such a topic and I just was so over it. And instead of just like admitting that that's what was triggering me and the fact that sometimes the Bachelor world can actually like hit me in ways where I don't even realize how upset it can make me, instead of just talking about that, I like told him like his hair looked stupid or something. Like that's not what I did, but I like, it was something so ridiculous like that. And I, for some reason, I could not just put my freaking ego aside and be like, holy shit, this is what's triggering me. And I'm usually pretty good at that, but I couldn't do it. And I just kept like trying to justify how I was behaving. And it was embarrassing.
I love that. And I love the self-awareness of it.
That's my girlfriend, Cleo. She's also my manager. She tells me, she's like, you are the most self-aware human being. And I'm like, yes, but now if I could only work on like those things, like I can fully admit when I'm a psychopath or be like, I was being such a bitch, but like then it tomorrow comes around and I do it again. And then I'm like, well, at least I'm self-aware.
Okay, final one. Besides Jason, when was the last time you lusted over someone? Like, do you have a celebrity crush or like, did you have a weird moment? A Peloton instructor.
Okay, here's a confession, but I'm like wildly attracted to a gay guy on Peloton. Like I think he's so hot and I'm like attracted to him and he's fully gay.
The guy I'm like talking to right now does Peloton and he'll send me screenshots of this gay guy and he's like, he told me I killed it today.
Was it Cody Rigsby?
I think it is.
Cody is like, I think everyone falls in love with him. You like get on that bike and he does something to your soul and you're all of a sudden just like, I will do anything for you. I'm obsessed with him.
He's his favorite. And I was like getting jealous. I was like, what does he have that I don't have besides everything? And yeah, his cardio is better than me, whatever.
He's just everything. So I lusted. No, I'm just kidding. Not that guy. I'm trying to think of a good one. I obviously have celebrity crushes. Like, I love Paul Rudd. I think he's so sexy.
I feel like Jason gives me Paul Rudd vibes.
Totally. Except Jason's like, Paul Rudd's like really, not that Jason's not funny, but Paul Rudd's like really like goofy funny, where Jason's more like, how do I say that? Jason's funny because he
compliments your humor.
Yeah.
Like he knows how to riff off of it, but like Paul Rudd is his own animal.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I love how I answered that for you when I literally don't know you guys at all.
But that was exactly right. That's, you nailed it. And that was exactly what I was trying to say. It worked. You somehow know.
To wrap it up, I think with reality TV, like, you went on way earlier than me when it could have been like really bad, just in general, like it could be bad for your reputation or whatever.
Yeah.
And the fact that you were able to create such a career from wine to scrunchies to music, like it's just been like, it's so inspiring to someone like me who like reality TV, I don't want to be my end all be all once I like get a wrinkle. So, but you've been through a lot to get to where you are today, obviously. And I like to ask this question to everyone for advice on just what do you do to cope with your hell? Like, when you're in hell, what do you do to get through it?
Yeah, that's a good question because it's always changing. Like, and I don't like to say, oh, I drink wine because yeah, I do. But, and I'm like, don't forget to go buy Spade and Sparrow's wine.
You're like Kylie Jenner with her lip kit. You're like, do you want lips like this? Do you want no anxiety like me? Chug it! Chug!
Yes. But I think what I've found works the best for me is unplugging from my phone in a way where, like, I can still call a best friend or talk to my family or something, but if I am in, like, that suck hole, like, I need to just unplug from my phone, and sometimes I find it super therapeutic to cry in the shower.
I love a shower cry.
Me too. It's like something like you are back to the womb and you're just being cleansed and you're just like crying and everything's just like pouring out. And then I don't know about you, but I just feel like I feel so much better after a good hard cry.
I cried. I don't cry enough, but I had one of those moments. I cried once during Summer House this season. It was like,
that's it.
I know. Because I hold it in. But something finally... Yeah. They basically like showed something I said that got taken to like me looking like a bully, and it got taken like far that like it looked like I had this vendetta against this girl that I'd only been like nice to the whole time. But I like, when I was drunk, said that I didn't feel connected to her, and I started getting all this hate, and I'm like, say that I'm have bad taste in men, say that I'm annoying, say that I'm ugly. Don't call me a mean girl, because that's something that's like really against what I believe in.
Totally.
So I get in the shower and I feel like I have to cry. And then I'm like, Hannah, don't cry. And then I start crying because I don't let myself cry. And then I start crying about like everything that's ever happened to me. And I'm like, and then when my dad yelled at me that one time, and I had like a full on breakdown in the shower. And then you walk out and you're just like,
yeah. And I'm back.
And I'm back. Oh my God, I love that so much. Well, Caitlin, this has been the best remix I've ever done, and it's the only one I've ever done.
I feel like we need to do another remix, because I'm like, I had so many more questions.
I know, I took over. I'm sorry. I'm such a bitch.
No, I love that because I always say this and everybody knows this. I love being a guest more so. Like, I just love it. I love when people ask me questions and we can like have a good conversation through it. So thank you.
And I'm like obsessed with asking questions. I can't help it. I'm just a little.
But that's what makes you such a good podcast host. That's why you have a good podcast. You know, give yourself a little pat on the back for that. We should do actually a part two and do like a few more questions because do you have any podcasts? Do you have just one?
Yeah, I have one podcast.
Okay. I do two a week and my second one is usually like a Q&A or something. So I'm going to have you back on and do more questions for you because I love to dive in more. I know you are very open with anxiety and mental health and certain things. And I would love to dive into that with you and know your plans for your 5-year plan. Just kidding.
What is it? Tell us now. But yeah, if you guys, so look out for that. Subscribe, rate, review, Off the Vine. Hell yeah. I'm so excited.
And where do people find your podcast? On all the all the places?
So all the places, Burning in Hell. It's B-E-R-N. It's a fun pun.
Smart, because that's your last name.
Yes.
Burner. That's so smart. I like that. What do you always like touch on in your podcast? I know we played a couple games or did some things, but what is like the main, if people are going to come find your podcast, what are they going to leave with?
Yeah, my little elevator pitch is I talk to people about their demons, their deepest insecurities, their fears, and just kind of laugh it off. It's like I call it a comedy mental health podcast. So we get dark and then we build ourselves back up.
I love that. That is so something I'm about. And thank you for doing this little mashup podcast. Yeah. I loved it. It was so fun because it's nice to like have the banter back and forth of not only just like being goofy, but having good questions. So I feel like we covered a lot of good stuff today. And thank you for being on my podcast as well.
Thank you for being on mine.
You know, let's do it again sometime. How do you end yours?
Oh, okay, guys. Thanks for coming to hell. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, and I say, I'm Caitlin Bristow, and I will see you next Tuesday.